Skull and Evert present This Week in Horror.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Evert.
And I'm Sickle, and we're Sickle and Evert. We're the Unhallowed Reviewers, and we've missed some time, and I don't know, things happen.
You know, if you don't call it out, people probably won't remember.
I don't think anybody's listening, so that's fair.
Well, you're not supposed to say that on the podcast, because that means if people are listening, then they feel bad.
No, you should feel special, because you are listening. No, don't
nice
leave.
Nice recovery. He's flustered, folks.
It's right. Over.
We don't have much news to talk about today. I don't know if that's because there really isn't much news, or if there's just not news we saw, but... there is a new trailer we have to talk about, and then we're going to do a lot of reviewing and chatting about movies today. So, something we haven't done in a while, but we like to do.
I guess there was one thing I saw. It came out a few days ago, and I kind of just moved on, because who knows if anything's going to come from it. But I did see that John Carpenter really wants to do a sequel to The Thing, which would be fun.
Interesting. I honestly thought John Carpenter was dead. Not that I want
honestly
him to die
did
now,
too.
But
no, of course not. But I did too. And so
like
I'm
Wes
surprised.
Craven, John Carpenter. If when Wes Craven dies, John Carpenter is also dead. And I don't know why those two are the same to me.
Well, no, I mean, like, they kind of correlate. I mean, They were both kind of pretty big at the same time, and were pretty controversial. I don't know. Like, I feel like it's a little late to bring that up. I don't know why he's bringing it up now. It didn't really get me all that excited, because it sounded like it was something he mentioned in passing. Like, he was like, oh, yeah, I'd totally love to do that. It wasn't like he had plans and had a script and everything. So, I don't know. It would be really cool, but, I mean, is he, like, I feel like we've been promised really awesome practical effects and from other movies, and I wouldn't have high hopes at this point.
Yeah, like, how much can he really do, make it the way he wants it versus something? I don't know, it all depends on, like, funding and stuff. It'll take 7 years to make, and by the time it gets made, it'll have passed through 5 studios and blah.
it's like the catch-22 of, like, I want to make a movie that's, like, committed to practical effects, and the studios are like, that doesn't make money because CG's faster and easier and cheaper, and then they're like, well, fine, I'll just go get it funded myself, but then they don't get enough money to actually get anybody that knows how to act their way out of a cardboard box.
So what John Carpenter needs to do is do a big budget movie and then use the proceeds from that to fund The Thing, like Robert Rodriguez does with Spy Kids movies.
Yes. Ooh, I like that.
I don't know why that practice isn't more, like, I feel like you feel like you're selling out if you do, like, a dumb movie that's going to make millions and millions of dollars, but, like, if it lets you do something that you love, like, I'm not going to call you out on that. Like, ever.
No, heck no. Yeah.
I'm
going
to be like, I'll go watch your crappy movie just to make sure you can make The Thing, too.
yeah. Just so the, like, I feel like the only guy that, I don't know if he does it for silly reasons or anything like that. I feel like Guillermo del Toro always just, he only does passion projects. Like, he only does something that he really wants to do.
Yeah.
And we've seen how well that works out
for his own movies. Like, no, we didn't get budget for Mountains of Madness or anything like that. Like,
no, he never got it for that. No, I just mean, like, in general, like, like Nightmare Alley and stuff like that. He gets the budgets that he wants. But,
that
like,
movie,
there's all
no
passion projects. Like, even if I don't like him, mm-hmm. I did not like that movie. Is that okay? I hated it.
I don't care. I didn't even watch it because it looked really dumb, sounded dumb.
It was so long. It was, like, 2.5 hours. I hated it for how long it was.
Pass. All right, let's move on to some trailers, unless you have something else to say in news.
No, like, okay, now that's it.
I wanted to supersede this. Well, actually, supersede this. Let's just talk about the C trailer, then I can talk about Nope, because I do want to talk about the Nope trailer on this podcast. I know we've talked about
it. Yes, no, that's a good idea.
The Seed, Sickle showed me this, and I was like, what the F am I watching? But it's a Shudder original, and I'm so in. Like, I don't know, it looks so goofy and awesome. I thought for a second it was the shell, because the creature looked like a turtle, and I was like, oh, it's the Seeds. Wonder why it's called the Seed, because it looked like a turtle, and then I just was like, what is happening in this trailer? I looked away for 1 second.
Yeah, and you could probably go back and watch it and not look away for 1 second and still have no idea what's going on. It looks insane, and crazy and messed up body horror, and it, I don't know. It looks like it's, I mean, it looks like it's going to be pretty stupid, but it also looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. And frankly, yeah. I don't know why, but that's kind of what I've been wanting. I've been craving more of lately. I feel like, actually, we're going to get into that with movie reviews, so I'm going to just going to leave it at that.
I'll say that, too. We're not going to talk about it on this podcast, but I did see the Uncharted movie, and it probably is, like, one of my favorite movies this year so far.
Which one?
The Uncharted movie with Tom Holland and
Mark Wahlberg.
Like, I'm a huge fan of the Uncharted game, so, like, you already have that going for you, but I don't know. It just wasn't so serious. It was just kind of a crazy-ass, insane action movie, and I was like, yeah, I'm all in for this. Like, this is fantastic. I don't have to think about this too much. I just get to watch a bunch of crazy, like, National Treasure, Tomb Raider-style action. So
sometimes that's what I want.
Oh, yeah. And so the other trailer I wanted to talk about after The Seed, which I do want to see and I think everyone should be excited for, is the Nope trailer. So we finally got a trailer for, Jordan Peele. Thank you. Thank you, Self. Jordan Peele's new movie called Nope. And what I can tell you from the trailer is it may or may not be about aliens, it may or may not be about horses, and it definitely has some people from his previous movies in it. And that's about it.
But that's a good thing. Like, I like that. I like that he doesn't reveal too much. I mean, I don't know how much say he has in what comes out in a trailer, but I like that his movies don't get spoiled very much. Like, you don't really know what's... Like, I remember with Us... You were like, well, clearly there's doppelgangers or something, but there's also rabbits in an underground facility, and that's all we know in that one. Like, it was also, like, super in the dark. We had no idea. I feel like Get Out was the closest one. Like, you could kind of get an idea of somewhat what was going on from the trailer.
Really? You could tell that people were taking over, like, younger people's bodies?
It felt kind of like a race... like race variant of Stepford Wives. It had that kind of vibe from the trailer to me, but which I honestly have not seen Stepford Wives, and I know that's not exactly the same, but like the vibe felt the same. I was like, it feels like it's kind of that, but like, and that wasn't that far off, at least from like the vibe of it, and the very 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 high level basic storytelling. But it, like, I'm doing a disjustice to to Get Out, because Get Out's fantastic. But I just mean, like, when I went into it, I was like, this is kind of what I was expecting. But, like, Us, I was like, I have no idea what's going on until the end. And Nope feels the same way. I'm like, I have no idea what's going on. If this is the only trailer we get, I don't know what I'm going into. And I'm really excited for that. It gave me enough that made me really excited for it. And I feel like that's what trailers should do. And I don't know about you, but I have to be protected from myself. Like, I can't control myself. So, like, if you release 18 trailers, and if I were to combine all those trailers together, I would have the whole movie. I would watch all those trailers. Like, that's who I am. I go and seek out the information because I can't help myself. So if all you give me is this really cryptic trailer, I'm still very excited. Like, I'm not going to be mad at you for it. I'm going to be like, oh, cool, this is all you gave me, and I'm craving... the rest of it. Yeah. Good job making me frustrated.
My only commentary against that is, well, I guess there's two. One is a joking commentary, the other one's serious. J.J. Abrams did that, and I just get annoyed by it. So, like, I'm just annoyed at this point that people do that. But alternatively, sometimes trailers don't have enough in them, and they're trying to do that, and they end up just being crappy movies, like, because they didn't want to show all the crappy shit in the trailer. Well, like, a movie that did show a ton of extra trailers and still was amazing was, like, Spider-Man No Way Home. No Way Home, where you basically, like, saw a trailer, we knew stuff was coming, and it was still a good movie. Like, we still didn't really know it was going to happen, and it happened, and it was like, man, why can't every movie do that? Why can't every movie have 7 years of build-up? No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, you're right. I guess I could see both reasons. I just wanted a little bit more.
No, it's true. I mean, like, there is no definitive path to a great movie.
Nah.
There really isn't. Like, I don't know. Like, to me, Into the Spider-Verse, the animated one, had no business being as good as it was, and it's, like, one of the best movies, to me, of the last, like, 10 years. Just straight up. movie's yeah. fantastic.
Yeah.
And like, it had no business being that good.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. All right, so we're going to talk about some reviews for movies now. The first one I haven't seen, and I probably won't see, but I think if Sickle wanted to talk about it, I didn't want to talk about it, but you did.
Okay, we're going to piss off a bunch of people, but I don't know. Maybe that's a good way to get ratings. Do you get ratings on podcasts? I'm old. So so I saw, I went and watched the Texas Chainsaw Massacre on Netflix. The requel thing, and I really liked it.
I heard people saying it was basically like I think it was you actually that said this. It was like, they gave it like a Michael Myers style backstory instead of just being having Leatherface be a crazy person as part of a crazy family. They like put Leatherface in a position of making him like slightly sympathetic.
I have a lot of anger. I have a lot of anger and rage towards these fans of Texas Chainsaw Massacre who are like angry that they did a remake slash requel that broke the norm of Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It's like, what was the point of a remake for you? Like, to me, it was the, like, what they did was kind of like the equivalent of, like, the Child's Play remake. Like, it's not a doll that's possessed anymore. Now it's an AI that's going crazy, right? Like, they took a twist to it. And, like, if you're just going to leave it the same, then why did you bother remaking it?
Especially for a franchise that's been already remade, like, what, 4 times, I feel like?
Now? Yeah. Yeah. And, like, everybody's big beef with it was, at least from what I could tell, it was, like, at least the fans of Texas Chainsaw Massacre were like, it's about the family. The family's the part that's the horrific part, and he's just, like, a pawn in the family that's the real problem. And it's like, okay, that's fine. That worked for the movie originally, but now they decided we're going to remake it, so we're not going to focus on the family part, and he's just going to be a psycho with a chainsaw. And it's like, well, oh, great. Like, cool. Because, you know, what I wanted to see was what would happen if Jason or Myers had a chainsaw instead. That's kind of what I wanted to see, because
wait,
I was looking
for.
That's
what this one is.
That's the way it felt to me. I mean, because he's just a crazed maniac that's crazy strong, and he has a chainsaw. So like, all like to me, it's some of the best. I mean, I'm just gonna say it because this is. I'm sorry. This is what I want to see. It was some of the best. Like, it was some of the best like gore deaths. In forever. Like, the practical effects were awesome. Like, so many of the deaths were, like, I was like, oh my god, I can't believe that's happening.
Wait,
like, it was crazy.
They made Leatherface less sympathetic by not having the family be, like, involved at all in this one.
Oh, yes. No, he's less sympathetic. I mean, they build up some level of sympathy, and you do absolutely hate all of the characters, and so you want them to die, because they're all really annoying, except for, I think, there was one guy I didn't think that was annoying. I thought he was really cool, but most of the characters, you just want them to die. And so it's cathartic. You're like, these people are annoying.
Like, oh, let
and
face
he's taking
them again. This is fine.
Yeah. He's taking them
Maybe
out.
Maybe it is
and,
more
like,
sympathetic.
I mean, I just feel like it's been forever since I've seen a movie. Like there was, I mean, I don't know. Can I do spoilers?
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's a horror. It's a slasher movie. What are you spoiling? Everybody dies besides one or two people.
But see, that's why it was awesome. So there's a scene where, like, okay, so like they're basically making this town. I guess it's I don't know. They're like trying to start fresh. These kids, like, you know, 20-somethings, early 20-somethings or something, and they're like trying to start a town from scratch where people live in peace and love and harmony and whatever. And so they found this abandoned town in Texas.
Is it set in the 70s?
There. No, it's not. It's modern times. And so, towards the beginning of the movie, this busload of people show up in the town to like be the people that kind of like establish the town. And I'll be honest, my first thought was, boy, I hope that he takes all those people out, because it's been a while since I've seen a slasher where it wasn't just like, here's the kill count, you know, like, you can see, like, here are the main characters, you know that they're going to get killed one at a time. You've got 7 characters, 6 of them are going to get killed.
Kind of like Malignant, where, like, he takes out that whole police station, and you're like, oh my god.
Yes! Yes! And so I was like, I had my fingers crossed. I was like, boy, I hope something happens to that bus full of people. But I've never seen Leatherface do anything like that, so that's probably not going to happen. And then there's a scene, like an hour in or so, maybe a little bit longer, where he gets on the bus, and everybody's on the bus. And everybody just gets massacred on the bus. And I'm like, this is awesome. I didn't see this coming. Like, they actually did it. He just went on, and I'm like, and look, they're not cutting away. It's just him going through the bus with a chainsaw. Like, how am I not supposed to, like, I mean, if I'm just sitting there having mindless fun. Yeah, it's mindless fun. Like, I'm not saying it's a good movie, but sometimes, like you said with Uncharted, sometimes you just want a dumb horror movie that's well-paced and got some good effects.
90% of the time I watch horror, I want a dumb horror movie. And, like, then I'm presented with, like, really complicated emotional stuff, and I end up watching, like Anything for Jackson, or, like, what's the one? Oh, my God. Not Midsommar, but the other one. I can't remember the name right now.
Oh, Hereditary.
And it's like, Jesus, I wish this was a little less serious. Like,
yeah, and like, and I really do love those movies, and I respect those movies, and I will always watch them. But I realized that with this Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie that I had missed just having a horror movie that was just a good-paced movie that where I don't care about the acting and the story that much. It's not that good. I'm not saying that part was good. But, like, I get to watch him just run around with a chainsaw and go crazy, like, with some great effects work. Like, the effects really helped, because, like, to me, it's like, it's been a long time since I've seen a horror movie where it didn't cut away every 2 seconds. And this one, like, anytime it cuts away, you're like, oh, man, it cut away. And then later it shows you what happened, and you're like, oh,
that's like, that was like my fantastic. Only biggest criticisms about the sadness was like, why are they, this is supposed to be like the most visceral movie ever, why do they keep cutting away from the stuff that could be like, that could scar people, like,
yeah, so yeah, I mean, like, that. Definitely nothing will scar you in Texas Chainsaw Massacre, not us, we're too disinterested.
Well, I just mean like the
point,
idea
but it's fun.
Of it, like, the yeah. Cutting away is a cheap gimmick, I think, and I don't like it, and I think it trivializes the violence that you were trying to cathart through. Etc. Et hence why Terrifier was so hard for me to watch a second time for a long time, because I was like, I don't know if I'm completely emotionally ready to watch someone get sawed in half again, you know?
Yeah.
Or well, ready to have someone's face get shot up and like have to see their like face afterwards that they survived, you know? Like, you know, I don't think I'm ready for that yet. And I watched it 2 times in a month, so there you go.
I don't know, like, I would, but like, I don't know about you, but I'd sooner revisit those movies than Hereditary and Midsommar, where these movies were, like, slogs to get through, because you're like, man, this is so brutal, and then, or just too weird, and frankly, slow, like, they're slower, and I don't, like, even if I respect those movies, I don't want to revisit them. I really want to, like, I know that I'm in a very small percentage of people, but I wouldn't mind watching that movie again. I thought it was fun. And
I don't know
I
why people
stupid.
Seem to be so negative about it. Is it just because it's like diehard fans who are like, this isn't, hashtag not my Texas Chainsaw?
I guess. And like, but like, I mean, I've seen a ton of complaints of people that were like breaking down like every scene. I'm like, guys, you do realize that this is a cheesy horror movie,
right? I mean,
right?
It wasn't Christopher Nolan that directed it, so I don't know why people are breaking it down so much.
I mean, like, I guess there's a scene where he, like, where Leatherface, like, leaps out of the water, like, straight up out of the
like,
water, and everybody's
Jason
like, what does he think he is,
movie.
A whale? It's like, who does he think he is, Shamu? And I'm like, guys, it's a horror movie. Like, why can't we just enjoy it for
now,
how crazy and wonky it is?
That might be how some people enjoy it, so if you're just, like, kind of having fun with your friends, making fun of a movie, don't post your critical review on the internet with a comment like, what is he, Shamu? Don't know if that's happening, but, like, that's something that we would say and laugh about it and have a good time,
oh, for
right?
sure.
But, like, don't put it in your professional review of the movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like, I'm not saying it isn't stupid, but to me, that's some of the, that's, like, part of the fun of a movie like this. It's supposed to be, I mean, even like, if they didn't think it was stupid, like, it's supposed to be stupid. I'm
like
going Freddy there to have
Jason.
Fun.
That movie's not, like, good, but it is so fucking entertaining. Like,
oh, yeah, that movie's ridiculously, like, I mean, it makes no sense. Like, even the plot from the beginning makes no sense. And I love that movie.
Yeah. All right, so this Arcade 81 conversation we're going to have will probably take the rest of the cast. Did you want to talk about any other movies first? Because we're going to dig in on Arcade 81.
Okay, let me just rant really quick. I saw a lot of good reviews for this movie, They Live in the Gray, that's on Shudder. It was I guess like a lot of these people probably haven't seen The Sixth Sense because they're too young. But it was basically The Sixth Sense, except instead of it being from the point of view of a kid, it's the point of view of a mom. And, like, her having, like, clairvoyance and stuff. But, it like, every scene, I was like, this looks like the leftover scraps of Sixth Sense scenes.
I see deceased people, and you're like, oh,
no, there was such a... No, there was a scene where she was, like... Because, like, the whole... Like, half of the movie... Not half the movie. Like, because, like, you know how in The Sixth Sense, a big part of it is that the kid never tells his mom what's going on, right? And it's, like, a big struggle for him to whether or not to tell her. Well, in this, it's her not wanting to tell her husband that she sees dead people. And so, like, towards the end of the movie, I can't remember exactly the line, but she basically just circumvents that. She's like, she doesn't say I see dead people, but she says something like I see them or something. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, come on. Like, this movie's such a ripoff. And I don't understand why people loved it so much, because it felt so unoriginal to me. And the effects work, like, I swear, there was not a single drop of blood in that movie that wasn't CG painted on. Like, on clothing, on faces, and then they have, like, a really cool, like, arm-breaking, leg-breaking scene. So I'm like, well, you guys were willing to do practical effects. I don't know why you had to CG blood everywhere.
That's funny. I had a lot of issues with that movie. Like, your commentary about the new Grudge movie sounds very similar to this movie in terms of the CG versus... You're like, you literally did a practical scene right there. Someone broke their arm, got stabbed, it was really great. But why are you doing, like, CG blood and stuff the rest of the movie? Because you've committed, you've, who are you pandering to?
Yeah, I hate it. I hate it when they, especially when they jump the shark. Like, if everything's CG, it's like, fine. You went for it, like, you had a friend that could do it, and so that was a way to, like, circumvent the budget. Cool, all right, I get it. But when you go back and forth like that, it bothers me more than anything. Okay,
back and
so
forth
anyways,
without any logic. Like, if you're doing, like, a real big scene, and it's, like, the crux scene, and you're like, I gotta do this in CG because it's too hard to commit to a full practical effect monster. Like, sure, you maybe showed the claws in the face by itself or whatever, and you just can't get it there. Okay, but like, randomly choosing when to use CG and practical effects, seemingly randomly, it hurts your viewers, like, because it's like breaking immersion, and you have to really be careful about it. I think you're right.
Yeah, for sure, because like, especially when you. Like, I try not to review movies this way, like, while I'm watching them. But, like, especially when you're like, wait a second, you had the budget for that, why did you not have the budget for this scene? Like, what happened? Like, when it's that big of a leap, it disconnects me when it's leaping back and forth. But, yeah, so this other movie, Dawn of the Beast, Shudder, came out. It's on Shudder, but it's not a Shudder original. It's like a really, really cheesy, dumb monster movie, but it was goofy fun. Like, I just, people brought up that it was a lot of fun that they brought two monsters into it, like two classic monsters.
Is that the one the Wendigo and Bigfoot? Where they're,
out there,
and then the girl starts to turn into a Wendigo throughout of it, and, like, the professor kind of goes... Yeah, I watched that the other day. There's, like, they did Wendigos in a very interesting way, because they were, like... basically made people into, like, part Wendigos, but there was still, like, a Wendigo spirit, too. And so it was actually more like bringing three monsters.
Yes,
in, they had, like, traditional Wendigo, and then they had, like, a version of the Wendigo that was interpretive, and then they had Bigfoot. And there is a really cool fight in that movie with Bigfoot. Not cool.
So
there's a really interesting fight
fun,
in that movie with Bigfoot. And I thought the movie was dumb, and I loved it. Like,
you just have to get through
the shitty stuff.
Yeah, it's so dumb, and the acting is really bad, but it was bad. And, like, the effects, you know, of course, I'd love it to be better, but, like, the budget that they had to work with, like, they totally shoestringed it, and, like, they stretched it as far as they could. Like, it was, yeah, it's fun.
Bigfoot's practical.
Movie.
I thought that was cool.
Yeah, and, like, most of the time they tried their best to do the Wendigo stuff practical, but when
sure
they couldn't, like, they...
Bigfoot slams a Wendigo into a tree, which is, like, all
I am pretty sure that they just shot that from like 8 different angles and then just had him keep throwing the same Wendigo against the tree.
Yeah.
Like it was supposed to be multiple Wendigos, but it was clearly the same shot from a different angle. And it was, but that, I still loved it. It was
that
awesome.
That movie actually has like a lot of progress through it, right? Because the first thing that happens is that one of the girls gets kind of like affected, right? And she starts to go crazy and you're like, what's happening? Oh man, this is a Wendigo movie, but they're there looking for Bigfoot. I wonder if it was just a misnomer, right? Like maybe people thought Bigfoot and it's Wendigos. And then like all of a sudden towards the end of the movie, Bigfoot comes out and he's like not taking prisoners. Like he's just there to kill. Like it's dumb and I loved it.
It was pretty goofy.
I don't think it's good. Like, don't go to that movie thinking you're going to see something that's amazing, but you will see something that is a good popcorn movie you can make fun of with your friends and see Bigfoot.
Oh, exactly, yeah. Definitely don't watch it by yourself.
I did, but it's okay, because, like, I have, like, a lot more tolerance for that kind of stuff, I think. Because nothing will be worse than the thousands of shitty Krampus movies they've made, so...
I mean, like, it's good when people are smart enough to, like, be able to explain to you what you're going into, because it's easy on Shudder to, like, read a couple of reviews before, and, like, everybody on there was nailing it on the head. They were just like, this movie's stupid, but it's got monsters in it, and it's like, funny stupid. Like, just go enjoy it. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like, I knew what I was going into and was able to just sit back and enjoy it.
Yeah, set your view screen the right way, right?
Yeah, exactly. All right,
we have 4 minutes to talk about Archive 81. So,
I'm sorry.
I don't know if we already talked about the show, but Archive 81, the show, is pretty interesting. Like, I thought it was kind of cool. It escalates very well. At times it was a little slow, but I think there's a lot of cool mystery in it, you know?
Yeah, I was very intrigued. Like, I wanted to get to the next episode. I wanted to know what was happening, yeah.
And so, like, what I think the downside of the show is they didn't go far enough. Because and they might not be going the same direction as the podcast, but the way the podcast goes, and this is more of me reconciling the podcast with the show, so the idea was they basically locked, what is his name, the main character, Dave or Daniel, Dan, right? In a bunker to listen to these recordings, like these tapes, right? And as he was listening to the tapes, crazy stuff started happening in the tapes and in real life, and it kind of progresses similarly, but the main difference is that it, like, goes off the rails in the last three episodes, because the professor what's his name? The guy who was in the penthouse in the show, he's, like, a professor.
Oh, I don't remember any of the names,
the main guy who's, like, running the cult or whatever, is actually trying to, like, turn himself into this crazy ass demon from another dimension, and he failed to do that the first time. You're pretty sure because Melanie, I think her name is, stopped him by using someone who basically was not able to be recorded on tape because it, like, he had this kind of weird off wavelength thing going on, and stopped it. But Dan fucked it up because he actually listened to all the tapes again and released this demon, right? And so the demon came out, almost kills Dan, F's everything up, and the second season of that show starts in a very crazy way. So you start with, like, two people talking to each other, and this is not anywhere in the show, right? You start with two people talking to each other, and they're talking about performing surgery on somebody, and it's, like, somebody who's clearly, like, using another person as a vessel, and this very robotic, not robotic sounding, but very kind of on the spectrum sounding person. And they're doing surgery, blah, blah, blah. And you figure out that it's Dan. And in order to they've transported them to the dimension where that demon was from. And there's no way to get back. So he's in there with, like, this two other people, this vessel that can communicate with the real world, and he's, like, this small military group. And he's basically had this kind of, like, pseudo-alternate dimensional surgery that turns him into, like, a living tape recorder. So he's, like, half human, half machine. And he listens to these tapes to try to guide these people through this, like, other dimension. And you're like, what happened? Like, in between the first season and the second season of this podcast, like, shit got crazy. And I don't know, and I'm like, I'm all for it, right? Because they experience crazy stuff. There's cults in the thing. There's, like, connections between the outside world and the inside world. It's all over the place, right? And it's great. But I don't know how the show's going to keep up with that. I don't know if it will, right? And so I'm interested to see what they do with the second season of Archive 81, if they even do it.
Yeah, that sounds crazy.
Yeah, I would listen to it. It's a very quick podcast. It's like 15-minute episodes, and there's like 10 episodes a season. So you can get through it pretty fast. And I would say, like, this is one of the scenarios where, like, when we watched Antlers and, like, listened to the short story, if you've watched Archive 81, listen to the podcast. Because you'll get a very different experience, and you can kind of go back and forth and decide which one you want to listen to, or if you want to do both, or whatever, right? Because it's very different. Very different.
Yeah, there are definitely elements that I liked of how they did things in the show. Mm-hmm. I appreciate it. At the same time, it was almost like as it was building, I was like, I wanted to keep going in the direction of these, of the more like interdimensional side of things. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess it's all interdimensional. I guess it's kind of hard to explain how I feel, but I didn't like, I don't know how to put it's... this. That it didn't end on a visceral note, like that.
No, I didn't like how it ended either, because it was so like so anticlimactic.
Yes. Yeah. I didn't like that. Yeah. And it sounds like the podcast doesn't do that. As much.
No, the podcast ends and you're like, what the heck is happening? And then you get into the second season and you're like, holy hell, this escalated quickly. I killed the man with a trident. I would check the podcast out because it's easily consumable. That's mostly why. It's easier to consume than the show. The show is like really long episodes that are really, they're like at some points gratuitous to watch because it's like grindy.
Yeah, I get it. He's fixing tapes.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks for listening, everybody. You know, let us know what you thought about the stuff we talked about today, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.